John Bell, you know him well. A huge happening this week. House voted 329-73, passing the Pregnant Workers Fairness Act. A little bit closer regarding true equality for women in the workplace. Here to discuss is Mr. Bell. Always good to have you, sir.
Good morning, Jay. How are you doing this morning?
Hanging in. Listen, this helps regarding discrimination against employees who are pregnant, and requiring employers also to make some reasonable accommodations, John, right, to allow workers to continue in their roles. Important stuff. They're well needed.
Yeah, Jay. So this is a rare bipartisan move, and getting anything passed in a bipartisan fashion in this day and age is extremely rare. So I'm very happy to see it. So basically, it's time for the Senate now to step up. But essentially, what this bill does is it allows women who are pregnant to request a reasonable accommodation. So the way that it worked in the past is that a woman who's pregnant can't be treated differently. So, for example, let's say you put out an application for a job and two people apply. One of the individuals is a pregnant woman and one is not. You can't select the other just based on the premise that the employee, the other employee or prospective employee is pregnant. So that was already and is already codified in the law. You can't treat them differently. However, what this law does, if passed, it allows them to request a reasonable accommodation similar to the Americans with Disability Act. So if I have a disability and I need a reasonable accommodation to perform the essential functions of my job, I could request it and the employer has to give it to me as long as it's not unduly burdensome. However, if I was pregnant, I would not be entitled to the reasonable accommodation. All the employer would do is say, okay, here, take leave, take unpaid leave. And, you know, with the increasing cost of childcare and also the loss of opportunity, that's not always fair or realistic. So what this law allows now is people who are pregnant for a period of time, they can't do lift, they can't do heavy lifting, they can't do parts of the job. As long as it's not essential, they could request that reasonable accommodation and the employer would have to provide it instead of just taking, well, if you can't do the job, you can't do the full job, then you have to take leave. So this is very, very fair. I don't know if you know this, Jay, but women right now make up the majority of the workforce. So during a period of time in their career, eventually a lot of them are going to be pregnant, and they shouldn't have to choose between a healthy pregnancy versus working. Now, in the past, the only way that you'd be entitled to an accommodation if you're pregnant is if you'd had if you could show complications in the pregnancy, then you would be able to apply through the Americans with Disability Act. So there's a little bit of a caveat there that exists today. You could still do that. But what this law does, it covers all pregnant women. You don't have to have a complication.
Interesting. What about you mentioned something regarding the hiring process. So in other words, an employer cannot have in the mindset, I guess in the interviewing process, that if one is pregnant, that thought cannot enter the fact that we've got an individual who's going to give birth during the tenure of employment here. He cannot put that as far as factoring out an individual based on that, correct? So, I mean, is that somewhat of a cloudy measure as far as if that were to ever enter the courts? You know, how do you really get down to the crux of it as far as, you know, who would be more of a viable individual for a particular company? How would that work out?
So, again, that is actually the law today. So if the pregnant prospective employee feels like she wasn't selected for the position because she was pregnant, then she obviously needs to get a lawyer, go to court, and ultimately have to prove that she was the more qualified candidate. So how do you do that? Well, you do that by looking at the background of the employee that was selected and comparing their background and job history to her background and job history, and you'd have to ultimately prove that she was the more qualified candidate.
All right, good. It sounds great. These protections outlined in the bill, you know, long overdue, John, I'll tell you that much, long overdue. And quite frankly, you know, it just brings a little bit closer. That's an interesting stat you brought to our attention, that women make up more in the workplace. Is that what you said? Women now exceed men as far as the workplace overall? Is that what it is?
That's correct. Women make up the majority of the workforce. I mean, it's close, but yeah, women are edging men out in the workplace, given the stats today. It's amazing.
When will this go to the Senate? Overall, we mentioned overwhelming vote in the House. So when is this going to be signed into law, cemented into law?
So no date. It's an unknown at this time. And as you can imagine, based upon what's going on, the Senate has its plate full. So I don't anticipate it in the very near future. But I do anticipate, given the bipartisan support, that once it does make its way up, it will be signed into law. And it's a good news. It's good news for federal employees, and it's good news for employees who work in the private sector with 15 or more employees. If it's under 15, these laws, these federal laws, don't necessarily apply to those employers. But you have to work in a workplace with 15 or more employees for you to be covered under any of these federal laws, whether it be Title VII, race, age, religion, gender, disability, and a law like this covering pregnancy discrimination. Now, that doesn't mean that if you work for an employer with less than 15, you're not protected, but you have to look to your state laws. Like here in New York, the majority of laws cover employers with five or more employees.
Interesting. Now, how does that work, by the way, as far as just being off on maternity? Is there a clouded picture as far as that is concerned? Could be concerned as far as the courts are concerned. You know, you get a certain amount of weeks as far as being off of maternity. A lot of people sometimes, you know, folks, they want to come back to the job. Sometimes it's not there. How will that work? Time off. Companies have that. You get giving birth and everything else, couple, you know, whatever it is, 8 to 12 weeks. How does that work, John?
So the way that it works is that if employees actually want to come back, they're allowed to come back and request a reasonable accommodation, as opposed to being forced to remain out for a period of time. But a lot of people who ultimately take the maternity leave are very happy and content on the maternity leave to spend time bonding with the children. As you know, here in New York, we have the New York Paid Family Leave Act, which helps both employers and employees, because employers don't have to actually pay for the maternity leave wages that an employee would collect. An employee will collect up to 60% in being out of work. So it does. It certainly helps a lot, but you have to look more to your New York state laws. But this, again, the federal law prohibits any type of discrimination and specifically goes to reasonable accommodation analogous to the Americans with Disability Act.
The only thing I see as a possible obstacle is if somebody's out on maternity leave and, thinks now, you know what, there's no discrimination. I come back, I have my job waiting for me, whatever it is. And then has an epiphany, maybe in the final week of not coming back to work. You know, the employer's out of luck. You know, they got to fill a position. Could be a tall task within the company confines. What about that aspect? You know, sometimes that could be a strike against the employer right there.
Sure. I mean, everybody's an employee at will. And just like you could be fired for basically any reason other than a discriminatory reason, any employee can then turn around and quit. There would never be a law requiring an employee to come back to work unless you're under some type of employment agreement or contract which specify some terms, that terms of notice or terms of the entire employment situation with certain penalties written into the employment agreement.
No question. John Bell, Bell Law Group. A minute or two on the jobless situation, the rate declined in August, 10.5, I think it was. That's the lowest rate the region has reported since the pandemic began. We're over 16, I remember, in April. So it fell in July. It was nearly 14, wasn't it? It was about 13 high, 13.8, that's what it was. What do you see out of this? It's a slow go trying to get back. We knew this would be a very long road. What do you take out of the numbers from yesterday?
That's great news, right? What a major decline from 13.8 to 10.5%. There's a lot of positivity that comes out of that. You know, New York City is still at 16.3%, which is basically our neighbors. They're still very high. And a year ago, we were at 3.9%, which was very low. But we can't expect to go there so quickly. But this is some great progress, and let's hopefully we'll continue down this path. The state rate also fell from 16% to 12.4%. So really decreases in the unemployment rate across the board, which is great news for the economy, great news for New York State as a whole.
Lastly, the $300, finally, you're going to get some disbursement there. You know, I tell you, John, I blame the state. You know, they dilly-dallied a lot around this. This thing could have been done a little bit earlier. A lot of people on pins and needles awaiting a little bit of an extra bump. Remember, the president came out on that Saturday, whatever it was, nearly 8 weeks ago, 7 weeks ago, whatever it was, on that Saturday at 4 o'clock with those declarations, some of the executive actions. You know, my feeling has been that, you know, there's such unrest between the administration and the state. They didn't want to give the president, I don't think, any credit in this. And that's why they really kind of delayed the action here. It's a terrible job by the state, but finally, you're seeing a little bit of ray of light here. What about that?
Yeah, my understanding is some New Yorkers have already been seeing some relief in the form of the extra $300 a week. It's only going to continue for 6 weeks, but if you haven't gone, that means that you haven't been pre-qualified. So you have to go and get qualified. If you do get qualified, my understanding is that the payments come fairly quickly. And again, it's only a 6 week period. So go ahead and apply. And I'm happy to hear that some families have already been receiving the extra $300 a week. That's very, very well needed.
The department, I guess the weeks that are ending, August 23rd, 30th, and the 6th of September, it's going to be released three consecutive days. It started yesterday on the 22nd. That is good news. Good stuff. Lots of stuff happening. Mr. Bell, Bell Law Group. I'll tell you, BellG.com, nobody does it better than Jonathan. We look forward to the next time, sir.
All right, Jay. Thanks a lot. Have a great day.